very good morning to you. Time for another Red River Radio Spotlight. I'm Kermit Poling, General Manager here at Red River Radio and in the Weiss Performance Studios. We have a special guest who will be featured on the Shreveport Symphony's concert this weekend, a program highlighting music inspired by Spain and Mexico. Guest conductor coming in for this particular concert, Jose Luis Castillo, a Spanish conductor who currently spends much of his time in Mexico as well as traveling throughout the world. And the guitarist, an internationally renowned guitarist, one of the top classical guitarists in the world. You've heard him many times here on programs like Performance Today and also on NPR, and we're glad to have him in the studio, and that is Jason Vio, who, as it turns out, lives in my hometown of Cleveland. Yes. And it's great to have you make the trip down here.
It's great to be in Shreveport. Great to be here, Kermit. Thanks.
And the program, as I mentioned, you know, Spanish-influenced music, and it really is a lot of fun. There's a great variety in the program, too, because there's Revueltas on there. There's some music, actually a Boccherini symphony that is called The House of the Devil, which is a lot of fun and a totally different style. And then as part of this concert, perhaps, arguably, the most famous guitar piece ever written?
Yeah, I definitely think you could argue that, aside from a couple solo pieces by Francisco Tárrega, but certainly the most famous guitar concerto for guitar and orchestra, the Concierto de Aranjuez by Joaquin Rodrigo, and of course, you know, I've played it many times over the course of my career, and it never really, you know, it's funny, it never... It never gets old playing it, because the second movement is especially just just such an incredible melody and great and deep feeling. And the nice thing about playing it with so many different orchestras every year is that it's incredible how you get that same kind of that depth of feeling from the musicians. They're very involved in it. It's just one of those movements, one of those pieces that really everybody, I think, can really relate to on some level. It's just a very heart-wrenchingly beautiful music.
And even if you don't know the title necessarily, as soon as you hear the music, you'll absolutely know. Actually, would you just maybe just sample a little, just give a hint?
That second movement.
The second movement, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. And then you get... This is the English horn solo.
Right. Yeah. Well, now that you've played that, you've just sold another 50 tickets for this symphony.
Yeah. That was just I just did a solo arrangement right there.
there you go.
Hey, I should write that down.
Why didn't you? Yeah, we'll take some dictation here and get it written down. Curious. You grew up in Buffalo,
Buffalo's my hometown,
and you were exposed to a lot of different kinds of music, not classical guitar, but you took up an interest in that. Why don't you talk a little bit about how that happened?
Well, I come from a more of a not the typical classical music stock, I guess, because my father was an appliance repairman. My mother was a secretary. So pretty modest background. And we didn't really, there weren't any classical music records in the house. My mother really just liked a lot of dance music, soul music, R&B. So a lot of those great Temptations, Stax, Motown, Aretha Franklin, Wilson Pickett, all those artists, and the Beatles, and the Mamas and Papas, and some of the rock groups of the 60s too. My dad listened only to jazz. He was very much like a anti-pop music kind of guy. and came up, you know, and came of age in high school, and after, just really, you know, being one of those guys that really just, like, they had no use for Elvis or the Beatles or anything like that. So I had a pretty interesting record collection when I was a kid. So my mother would hear me, and it was my favorite thing. I was just sit in front of the record player and put one record on after another. My parents would have to come and get me for dinner sometimes, you know, time to eat.
Yeah, that type of thing.
Loved music. And I think my mother... because she was at home. She stayed at home when I was a baby, young. She was, eventually went back to work when I was about five. But when I was three or four, she used to hear me singing harmony parts and guitar fills, drum fills, things that were in the music, but that she really couldn't pick out, but she knew they were in. She was like, well, he's singing stuff that's in the music. I can hear that's in the music, but I can't pick that out. So she bought me a 3/4 size, unwittingly, a classical guitar when I was five. And I really pretty much just goofed around on it and just had it around just making stuff up on it. I did take some music reading lessons with a jazz guitarist, Joel Perry, in Buffalo for a summer. Maybe I was six, I think, around then. But when the Buffalo Guitar Quartet came to my school, I was, I think I was seven. My mother was working as a secretary for the librarian at that time, and they were just doing an outreach program, much like the hundreds that I've given around the country and for schools and that sort of thing. And so for me, it was just like, oh, great. You know, anything musical was of interest to me, but it never occurred to me that I would ask them to or I even asked my mother to take lessons with it. I didn't really even make the connection. But my mother was more proactive about it. So she has, and we have a guitar just, you know, like what you guys are playing. And so I actually started, despite my background, I actually started as a classical guitarist with the technique and everything right from the get go, because those four gentlemen were, very highly refined, classical musicians and guitarists. Yeah. And he was the primary arranger too. So he had that, you know, IQ, that music IQ, that brain. So I learned a great deal from him all growing up in high school, and just something that came kind of natural to me. And practicing, most importantly, came natural to me. I enjoyed practicing.
But you know, it's really I can't say I ever felt that way. But there
were my teen years when I started getting up to about 3 hours a day. Then I didn't enjoy it all the time as much, especially with the really difficult pieces. You know,
but how cool that, you know. You really didn't come from that kind of a background, yet you were exposed to it. This is the type of stuff we talk about all the time with educational concerts for kids and outreach and all of that. You know, it's the exposure that, you know, once you experience it, chances are you'll, not that you're necessarily going to become a performer, but that you'll have an interest in it, and there's something in that for anybody who's listening. So that clearly happened to you, which I think is just great. And obviously you've taken it well beyond what you probably ever imagined.
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I liked actually that outreach, and which I've been a part of for 20 years, and teaching and educating young people about classical music is that the way it's shown to them is through just exposure that it's something that can be a part of your daily life, and you don't have to be an expert or anything like that to appreciate it or to play it. I think that was the problem earlier on, was that that connection wasn't made, that this is just everyday music for people as long as you're exposed to it.
Sure. And speaking of music, how about a little sample?
Something? How about play a Argentinian song called Misionera, and this is off of my latest record, Play, which is Play is kind of a CD celebrating 20 years on the road, and it's kind of an encore's disc, best of. And this has been a very good piece for me as a first encore after solo recitals. And of course, I play it as an encore a lot for orchestral, you know, for concerto performances too. It's by Fernando Bustamante, and it's arranged for the guitar by Jorge Morel. Thank you.
Knight, guitarist Jason Vio, performing a piece that you have on a newly released CD.
Called Play. It's called.
Yeah, and it's I'll just throw in a little plug for that. It's on your website if people are interested.
Oh yeah, I think it's like the front page of the website for now, so people can kind of click on an order on it. It's doing really great, and the radio stations around the country have been really great in supporting it with the airplay, and it's like in the Images of Matheny record, where I did made an entire record of music by Pat Metheny, the American jazz composer and band leader, guitarist. It even has a little bit of like an arrangement of an Ellington song at the end of it, in a sentimental mood. So it shows just a lot of different facets about in terms of the kind of music I like to play, like a lot of groove based music, dance based music. Mm-hmm. So it's a fun listen.
Do you find, because you said that was a transcription or an arrangement, and a lot of pieces are arranged, and then we've heard everything, you know, from Liszt to, you know, Mozart and everything else. Have you dabbled much in that yourself?
Arranging?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't say it's a primary aspect of my performance, but let's say, well, it's unlike my colleague at the Curtis Institute of Music, who I co-founded the guitar department there with, David Starobin, who plays only original music for the guitar, no transcriptions. For me, I like playing, you know, I try to play as much of the great original works for the guitar as possible. But for me, especially with Bach, it's just really hard for me to stay away from that stuff, even though it's not originally for the modern classical guitar. It's for the, you know, lute or cello, or that music is just so great. So I play a lot of Bach through the years, and arrangements like that just really sound great on the guitar. Albanese and Granados, how can you not play that stuff on guitar?
Sure. Absolutely. And of course you'll be playing the Rodrigo tomorrow, of course, which is written for guitar and orchestra.
Work.
An original work, and one of the greats. We've got just a few minutes, and I'm kind of greedy, as are our listeners. Would you do maybe one other short piece?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. Well, this one, speaking of what you were asking me, I think then what I'll do is I'll play an original guitar work.
Okay.
A little tuned down for a little bit.
That's one thing that's always fascinated me about guitarists, and I come from the violin world, where we tune our strings for the most part the same all the time.
Right.
But you're constantly changing tunings for different pieces.
Yes, it's best actually with guitar to temper it to the key that you're playing as much as possible. If you always tune it the same way, in some keys it's going to sound pretty awful. So it's best to kind of to get it close and then fine tune it for whatever, for D minor, for example, for this piece, Capriccio Arabe by Francisco Tárrega. Basically, Tárrega would have been a contemporary of Isaac Albéniz or Manuel de Falla.
Right.
And like them, writing music that is a pretty strong identity with their native, their country's Spanish, you know, folk idioms, which really had a big influence, actually, on a lot of other musicians after that, I think, in terms of imbuing your concert music with you know, something more of a nationalistic kind of bent.
guitarist Jason Vio playing the music of Francisco Tárrega, and beautifully too, I might add.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us a sampling of your talents. If you want to hear more and hear classical guitar with symphony orchestra, the opportunity is tomorrow evening. The Shreveport Symphony will be having a concert tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m. Riverview Theater in downtown Shreveport. Jason, you'll be playing Rodrigo's Concierto de Aranjuez. It's early in the morning. Yes, I didn't do the juez. Yes, I guess I should have been more authentic. But any last comment you want to make about the concerto before?
Well, it's just we didn't really even talk about the wonderful outer movements.
That's true.
I mean, for the listeners listening now, the really bright, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that very bright and sunny first movement is really the evoking the Palacio Real de Aranjuez, which was a summer retreat for the kings, for the nobility of Spain. It was refurbished by Philip II in the 18th century. And Rodrigo and his wife had their honeymoon there. And so it's when you hear all the, you'll hear in the winds and also in the, this here, these trills here.
Mm-hmm.
These bird calls and the gushing of fountains that you hear in the orchestral kind of these gestures that happen. It's a really just wonderful dialogue, superbly written really for guitar and orchestra, because he manages to get so much color in these outer movements, color and dynamism, like dynamic range, but still in this kind of conversational back and forth thing, so that the guitar doesn't get covered by the orchestra. It's really a masterpiece.
Well, it's a great work, and again, that's part of tomorrow evening's concert. Also on the program, the first suite from the Three-Cornered Hat, the music of Manuel de Falla. There's a piece called Redes, which means nets. It's a piece by the Mexican composer Revueltas, which is actually a film score. The film is known in America as The Wave, and probably isn't too familiar. It dates back from the 1930s, but it's a very dramatic orchestral work. And then a little Boccherini in there, a symphony called House of the Devil, which sounds very sinister, but it has very much, in a lot of ways, the feel of the Rodrigo, especially the outer movements, which are bright and
rhythmic.
And yes, exactly. Exactly. So, again, the concert tomorrow evening, 7:30 p.m., Riverview Theater in downtown Shreveport. Information is available at ShreveportSymphony.com. You can also call 318-227-8863, 227-TUNE, the Symphony Tune line, for tickets or more information. And I will recommend to any of you that if you have the opportunity, by all means, try to get down there for the concert. And Jason, I want to thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me on the program, Kermit. Also, there's a chamber music concert, a chamber concert with the symphony musicians on Sunday at 3, I believe it is, right? At 3 p.m. So,
right, and you'll be performing on that, and among the works, another Boccherini work,
we're
or at least part of it.
We're going to play the last movement of the famous movement of the Fandango quintet. So
which is a great piece.
Yeah.
You're going to have cast
next? So you guys have to come down for that. I think we are procuring castanets for the cello. The cellist has to play those, not the guitar.
Yeah. Well, that's a great work. And that concert is free. It's open to the public at the Anderson Auditorium at the Hurley School of Music. So lots of a wonderful opportunity for you to hear great guitar music. And if you're with an organization and you have an event coming up and you'd like to be featured on a future spotlight here at Red River Radio, give us a call at 800-552-8502. We'll get you scheduled for a spotlight in the future. Again, my guest, guitarist Jason Vio, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Kermit.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.